Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I don't know why Joe went through this yesterday or 2 days ago, or I think it was yesterday.
It was
whatever.
Yesterday, yeah.
I saw the whole thing, and it's hard to feel bad for a guy that's making $177 million up to this point.
No one feels bad for him. They're just interested if...
Does he want to leave Cincinnati?
Right, that's all anybody cares about.
And I know that, you know, Adam Schefter's out there talking about how he was receiving calls from other teams. Is this real? And then he started reeling off the teams. Like, what would happen if the Vikings got him? What would happen if the Raiders got him? What would happen if the Jets got him? I mean, all I know is that there is a lot of money, a lot of dead cap money that's there for Cincinnati that I don't know how, if he wanted to leave, I don't know how that would work. And then, by the way, they have done everything they possibly can to keep him happy by signing all of his wide receivers. And I know he's been sacked a lot of times, and I always tell you this on the show, that sacks sometimes happen because the quarterback holds on to the ball. You know, you have to get rid of the ball. There are guys like Matthew Stafford and Josh Allen that are playing unbelievable football that don't have nearly, I don't know, a quarter of the sacks that Joe has when he plays. So part of that is on him. Part of that is on the team and the offensive line. Part of it is the fact that their defense is getting shredded every week. But, you know, last week he threw back-to-back interceptions that ended up costing his team the game. And that's unlike him. I mean, the first interception last week, you know, that was a doozy. The second one was a tip ball that can happen to anybody. But,
he looked amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, the last few games he's looked amazing. Yeah. He's looked like he's, you know, back to normal and playing well. I think what ends up happening is that sometimes the losing just takes hold. And on top of that, the injuries and then whatever else is going on in his life. I don't want to speculate about any of that stuff. I don't know why he felt like this was a therapy session in front of the media. I'm not really sure about that, but
he was asked the questions and then he decided to answer the questions pretty honestly. He didn't go super in depth about it, but it did sound to me like it wasn't a Bengals thing. It was like a football thing. And he's talking about how I got, you know, having fun doing it and I need to have fun doing it. And right now it's not fun and all of those things.
Losing sucks.
Yeah. I mean, especially like all the rehab he has gone through. And that was what Andrew Luck said when he had retired. He's like, it took so much out of me, all this rehab from all the injuries that I had. I didn't want to do it anymore.
And it was no fun. It was no fun. And I think Andrew actually used those exact words. I mean, you know, Joe's a very unique player. He's a great football player on the field, but off the field, you know, he's introspective. He's a unique guy. You see how he dresses. He's got, you know, he's got a flamboyance about him, the whole thing. I don't know what this was all about yesterday other than, you know, they got to get the season over. He's got to get healthy again, and then he's got to try to find the energy to come back and lead the team. The Bengals are not trading him. I'm just telling you that right now. The Bengals just don't trade people. And, you know, the salary, the contract, the dead cap, there are a lot of moving parts here. And, you know, he's not going full NBA player psycho. He's got Ja'Marr Chase there. He's got T. Higgins there. He's got a lot of his friends are there, and he got them paid.
Yeah, like I said.
It's almost like he owes them to stay there them and play with them.
Well, yeah, once again, it doesn't sound like a Bengals thing. It sounds like a football thing. It's not like he's saying, I need to get out of here. It's almost like I'm just not having fun playing football.
Well, he just needs to get away from it once the season is over. I mean, I'm sure going through rehab and getting that foot fixed and everything else and coming back thinking that you have a chance. And then, you know, if they win the game against Buffalo last week, this is not happening.
No, of course not.
This is 100% not happening. So they lost the game. He's tired of losing. They're not going to the playoffs. They're not eliminated yet. But, you know, there's a good chance that they could get eliminated by a number of different scenarios this week or next week. But, I mean, he's going through what, you know, a lot of us have gone through when the teams are not good and you're losing and you start questioning whether or not you still love the game. I mean, to me, it's normal. I know that ESPN's got to make a big deal out of it and everybody's got to have an opinion about it. If they win last week, this ain't happening.
Yeah, I never thought that the Aaron Rodgers of the Jets thing was going to happen. I just didn't think that Aaron Rodgers, if he was going to go somewhere else in his career, would have come to the Jets. And I was wrong about that. But I can't imagine a world where he's leaving Cincinnati, and if he did, and I understand that people are going to put two and two together, the Jets got so many picks, and if they're going to get traded, you know, they got the most draft capital. I mean, let's just say in a world, which is not going to happen, I understand because of the cap implications in Cincinnati and everything else, but let's say he did go full NFL psycho like we see full NBA psycho. The Jets is not going to be the place that makes him happy.
Well, the Bengals don't have a backup plan right now. Like the Jets, I mean, the Packers did. The Packers had Jordan Love. They were ready to hand over the reins to him. And Aaron Rodgers tried to pull a Tom Brady. He actually thought he was going to a good team, and I think he was going to a good team, and then he blows his freaking Achilles out.
Yeah.
I mean, which was really, I mean, it has to be one of the most unfortunate injuries in the history of New York sports. And when it happened, how it happened, it reminded me a lot of when Vinny Testaverde went down for the Jets as well. But this thing with Joe Burrow will blow over. The Bengals, now, I will say this. There are now coaches that you have to wonder about out there and whether or not, you know, they're going to be the guys moving forward leading their franchises. We saw one last night. We actually saw two last night, Raheem Morris and Todd Bowles, because Todd Bowles goes off last night because they should be running away with that division, and they are not. And now Carolina, the door is wide open for them, and they play Tampa Bay twice here in the last 3 weeks. Carolina's got a tough game but a division game at New Orleans this week. So if they win that game, those last 3 weeks between those two teams will be quite something to watch, I'll tell you. And if Bryce Young outdoes Baker Mayfield and Todd Bowles, would I be surprised if Tampa Bay went in a different direction? Would I be surprised if Atlanta goes in a different direction? Would I be surprised if Cleveland and Cincinnati go in different directions coaching-wise? No, not at all. I do think, though, that I would believe that Joe Burrow would want Zach Taylor to stay as his head coach. You know, and that may be the saving grace for Zach Taylor. I like Zach Taylor as a head coach. What they've had to deal with the last 3 years is insane. And losing your quarterback's impossible. But I can understand why Joe is melancholy, if you will, just simply because they lost last week's game. And, you know, it feels like they've been climbing up a hill the last 2 years. And he's had to deal with injuries, and I just think that he's exhausted by it all.
Yeah, and there could be something going on in his personal life because the guy asked him yesterday, is it professional, is it football, is it personal? And he goes, all of the above. So there might have been something, you know, we're reading into this football part of it. There might have been something that rocked his personal life, and then all of a sudden he brought it out in an emotional moment behind the podium yesterday. I'm not sure, but yeah, I think this story ends with Joe Burrow. You know, he had a bad day. Kind of let it out. and things will settle. And then next year, they're going to try to do it again with hopefully him being healthy. And
I legitimately laugh at people who think that the Bengals will trade him. I mean,
Well, I think they think that Joe Burrow, because he's such a big star, is going to force his way out, because we see that in sports all the time.
Right. Is he going to take Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins with him?
Right. No.
I mean, come on, guys. You know, be realistic and understand who the owners of the Bengals are and what. Now, listen, I never thought that they were going to trade Carson Palmer, but it got to a point with Carson Palmer that it got so bad that he basically walked out on the team, essentially.
Yeah, and easier to trade then than it is now.
Right, and also you had Hugh Jackson at the Raiders making an asinine trade.
Yes.
And the Bengals couldn't say no to it. So now, I guess, could somebody else come up with an asinine trade request and somehow the Bengals manipulate the money and it all works out? I guess you could say that's a 1% or 2% possibility, but knowing the Bengals the way I know them and thinking that I know Joe the way I know him and his friendship with his two wide receivers, man, that would be ballsy if he left them there by themselves. Like, that would be really, like, shocking to me.
Yeah, and that's why I think yesterday was sort of just in a vacuum, and I don't think it's going to continue, especially now, because he did this yesterday. He's going to meet the media again at some point. People are going to ask him more questions about it. I would almost guarantee that he'll shut that stuff down this next time. I can't see him perpetuating it. Now, he's a different guy. There's no doubt about it. He is a different guy. Yep. He kind of, goes to the beat of his own drum. But it would be, we've seen a lot of crazy things in sports. That would be the craziest offseason story if he somehow forced his way out of there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Something was said 2 days ago that was alarming. Like, it jumped out at me, and not just me, many others. You'll hear from Adam Schefter in a few minutes about this as well. And that was the tone of a Joe Burrow press conference. Joe Burrow had a press conference in which he sounded, and I'm going to play all these clips so you guys can formulate your own opinions as well. But either Joe Burrow wants to retire.
Yeah, or which is not the case because he's way too young.
Or he wants to leave the Cincinnati Bengals. You can take your pick. So the first clip I want to play, the question was, how has this season changed the way you view the game? And listen to Joe Burrow's hesitant and eventual response.
No, it certainly doesn't change my desire to win. You know, if I want to keep doing this, I have to have fun doing it. You know, I've been through a lot, and if it's not fun, then what am I doing it for? So that's the mindset I'm trying to bring to the table.
I have more. Would you like to hear more?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. That's the mindset I'm trying to bring to the table, meaning I'm trying to have fun, but I'm not having fun. Therefore, what am I doing this for?
If was used too. If I want to continue doing this.
Yes.
He was then asked point blank, are you having fun? This is a minute long clip, by the way.
Here we go. I'm having right now. It's difficult to have fun given the season, what you've been through physically, emotionally, all of it. Is it tough?
Yes, certainly.
Did you have fun playing before how much of it was fun before? Winning's always fun, but in general, was it as fun before you got hurt? Did you view it that way, at least?
No, I wouldn't say I viewed it that way, I think.
What was the changing point?
Changing point? I'm not sure there was a singular moment or of time. It's just a reflection on a lot of things that I've done and been through in my career, I think. And I've been through more than most, and it's certainly not easy on the brain or the body, so just trying to have fun doing it again.
He was then asked, It sounds like something's on your mind, Joe.
You seem like there's something on your mind. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it seemed frustrating.
There's just a lot of things going on right now. A lot of things going on right now.
Football related, personally?
All of the above.
What do you make of that? There's a lot there, but he sounded down. He sounded almost done with football in a lot of ways.
I think his head coach is under fire because of underperformance. Obviously, that's underperformance because of him not being available. And the Cincinnati Bengals, even though they've worked themselves back into the conversation a little bit, I think it's also because he's missed 9 weeks this season.
Yep.
He missed 7 weeks 2 seasons ago. And then his rookie season, he tore his ACL. And so he's had some major injuries and significant time he's missed. So physically, it starts to take a toll on you. And then does he want to keep playing this game if he's not going to be the ultimate winner? Let's not forget his journey in college before he went to LSU, and he bounced around a couple places. He goes to LSU. It was really kind of just a boring offense. And then they got amazing with Joe Brady being their offensive coordinator and won a national championship. He wins a Heisman Trophy, and it might have been one of the greatest, if not the greatest, college football season by a quarterback in NCAA football history. It was fun, clearly. They haven't won it ultimately in Cincinnati yet. These guys want to win, and it's been a lot of years since Joe Burrow, despite going to one Super Bowl, has won.
It's been downhill since.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Absolutely. And then the injuries start to add up. The team stinks. It doesn't feel like there's a really bright future. You're in Cincinnati. So he's just not having fun.
So does he want out?
I get it.
Does he want out?
It sounds like he needs a break.
Hmm.
It sounds like he needs to stop talking about it and look back and understand what his position is.
Here's what's going on, at least from my perspective. There are these two people, and you've been eyeing this girl for a very long time, and she's about to dump her boyfriend. Like, you can just hear it. And I'm here in the corner like, I gotta ask her out. But I can't ask her out yet because
she still has a boyfriend.
She's still with the boyfriend. But clearly they're about to break up. Joe Burrow is maybe the hottest thing we've seen as Jet fans, and he is about to dump her incredibly doofy, ugly boyfriend. And while we're doofy and ugly ourselves, we think we have a shot. Mm. That's exactly what I'm thinking
right
now.
Well, he signed his deal back in 2000. What year was that?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, it's not about him being a free agent. It's about him going to the front office.
No, it's not even. It does matter, though. Because
why?
Because it's not heavy. Like, when you look at Dak Prescott's deal, mm-hmm. it's like $68 million in dead money or $70-something million in dead money. His is like 40-something. It's not crazy. I mean, each year it is. And so there's outs for the Cincinnati Bengals.
If they want to accept being dumped.
Yes.
Like, unfortunately, in the real world, once she dumps you, it's over. You can't George right. Costanza it and say, I'm not accepting that you fired me or that I dumped you. So they would have to agree to it, but this is your very first crack in the armor. We are seeing it in front of all of our eyes. And if you don't believe me, here's Adam Schefter talking about what he's heard mm-hmm. about what Joe Burrow had to say the other day.
I can tell you this. Other teams in the league took notice of that. I can tell you that for a fact.
Damn
I
right.
know that because I was texting with some of them.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. You should jump in and tell us all who the text was
from.
To
be specific, $56 million in dead cap.
Right.
This is next year. So that's not steep. That's doable.
Yeah. So do you think, based on the words of that minute and a half we heard from Joe, is this someone who's on the outs? Am I being too Jet fanny and thinking about him coming to my team?
I don't think he's on the outs. I think he's just, it sucks to lose. And it sucks not to be, even though he's been good since he's come back, but it sucks not to be in the conversation. And I think he got to the hill, top of the hill, and then lost in the Super Bowl. And now he doesn't see the path back.
Now, I know
he's probably right about that, by the way.
Totally. And Sean, do you want to be the jerk who follows up and says, hey, Evan, you're a Jet fan. Why would he go there? You can do that. Go ahead.
Evan, if he sounds that depressed as a Cincinnati Bengal, do you think his mood's going to change being a Jet? Why would he want to do that?
I'll tell you why, Sean. And I'm so glad you asked that question. Because the Jets can give him something the Bengals haven't, which is an offensive line that actually protects his ass. That's number one.
True.
And number two, and this is the truth in life, sometimes the grass is greener on the other side. And sometimes change is good, even if, yes, it's an organization that has this horrible history. It's still a head coach that could excite him. It's still Garrett Wilson and skill position players that could excite him. And here's the other thing. Joe Burrow loves attention. Mm-hmm. You could tell he wants to smoke that cigar like a superstar that he is. There is no bigger stage and no better place than New York City. So I get it. The Jets are not in the greatest place in the world. But as Adam Schefter said, other GMs and team presidents and owners, they heard that press conference.
Yeah, they heard
if
it.
If I'm the Jets, I'm all over it.
They heard it. I wonder, you can't really call about him right now because there's no avenue for him. You can't trade for him, right?
Yeah,
now.
But you can discuss it for the spring, yeah.
Right, for the offseason.
You can absolutely call him.
But that's just, I mean, that's just so long away. But I can see why people would get ahead of this. Joe Burrow. He's one of the, when he's healthy, that's a caveat. When he's healthy, one of the best quarterbacks in football.
So how far would you go if you're me and the
if
New York Jets?
Yeah.
Would you offer him all the booty of picks?
No, I would just, you need to find out what the hell is actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're talking about he wants out of Cincinnati. He almost sounds like he wants to just retire.
Well, that's major Andrew Luck vibes there.
Yes.
That's why I said before this even started, it's one of two things I took out of this. He either doesn't want to play football anymore mm-hmm. or he wants to try something new and go to a new location. And by the way, maybe that would have been the answer for Andrew Luck. Just going somewhere different.
Right.
Sometimes differences help, even if it's not the greatest difference in the world. Sometimes a change of scenery helps. Sometimes it's better that way. And so you're right. I'm not going to deny that. He did sound like a guy who could Andrew Luck all of us.
Right. And he's done well. He's made $170 plus million already.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to do anything, he didn't have to do anything.
What I find fascinating is we had a hypothetical last week, but I think it's worth bringing up. You were very much out if the hypothetical came of Lamar Jackson being moved.
Yeah.
But you're very much in on Joe Burrow.
Correct.
Burrow's got the injury history and Lamar has given no indication that, like, football's getting into him the way Burrow is. Why the in on Burrow but out on Lamar?
Two things. It's a great question. So two things. The way Lamar has played over the last few weeks, just his tentativeness, kind of scares me. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's just not healthy or what's going on. And I do just fear later into his career, into his 30s, if he isn't able to have that incredible athleticism, what is he? Like, I think he's still good, don't get me wrong. I just don't think he's that. I don't have that fear about Joe Burrow. I've seen no decline from Joe Burrow. I do worry about his health, of course. But that's the difference between the two.
Okay. When am I allowed to make this about the Giants?
How is it even close to being about the Giants?
What the Giants have to do with this? I don't even know this one.
I'm going to play the game. Evan, ask me what this has to do with the Giants.
Are you giving up on Jackson Dart already and you want Joe Burrow?
Evan, that would be a very inside-the-box thought. You have to think outside the box.
Zach Taylor is your next head coach.
If you're the Bengals, aren't you doing everything before trading Joe Burrow to make Joe Burrow happy and show him it's not the same old? And doesn't that start with, all right, we're going to bring in a new culture, new coach, new everything. And wouldn't Zach Taylor be a fit as an offensive mind who has head coaching experience for the New York Football Giants?
I think that's already on the table. I don't think you needed this press conference.
He calls the plays.
Yep.
I think he's already on the hot seat. Don't you think
they're 4-9, 4-10, whatever they are. So they're not. It's an underachieving season.
Yeah.
Now part of it's explainable because Joe Burrow was hurt for a lot of it, but it's not like he's been lighting the world on fire. So if Joe Burrow now then goes to ownership, because I'm sure he has a relationship, given he's got a 200 whatever million dollar contract, and says, "Yeah, I'm ready to move on from Zach." And that's either me got to go or he got to go. Guess who's going?
It is December 11th at 4:11 p.m. We all took a listen to Joe Burrow sounding depressed.
We just emptied the Alonzo ones out. We're just filling up that toy chest again.
Long-term prediction. Where is Joe Burrow or is Joe Burrow playing football in 2026?
God, you know, it's so interesting. Every year we talk about these veterans that get moved. And this year it felt like, meaning this upcoming offseason, it's like, who are the Jets going to go after? There's no veteran. There's nobody that you want. The older guys are aging out. The middle-aged guys are not good enough. Like, who the hell are you even want? And then all of a sudden, Joe Burrow presents himself. Where is Joe Burrow? Is he with the Cincinnati Bengals?
I'm asking you.
Yes.
Okay.
Joe Burrow is with the Cincinnati.
So this is much to do about nothing. He'll still be with Cincinnati.
Yes, he's going to win 2 of the next 3 games or 3 of the next 4, and then he's going to feel all right.
All right. Tommy Lugauer.
Joe Burrow will be the quarterback of the L.A. Rams.
That was a good one. That was a good one. I was just giving that a lot of thought. Like, wouldn't the irony of that? Like, Sean McVay always knows how to trade in his toy for a better toy. And obviously, that's also the team that Joe Burrow lost to in the Super Bowl.
And Burrow just feels like an L.A. guy to me.
That's a good one. Mm. I've got a better one, but that was a good one. Sean Morash.
Okay, so Tommy's thinking along the same lines as me. If you're the Bengals...
Don't steal my idea.
If you're the Bengals, you look at what the Lions did.
Okay.
Right?
Son of a bitch. He's going to take my idea. But you know what? Let it be you.
You're going to get a quarterback for quarterback swap because you feel like you've fallen short and you need the guy to get you over the hump. Sean Payton, Denver, Bo Nix traded.
Okay, I survived. It's a good idea.
That's even better.
Mine is going to kill you. Mine is going to crush you. So far, none of us have said the Jets as much as I fantasize about it. I kind of agree with Tommy that there's someone who's so smart like Sean McVay who could pull it off. Mm. I got someone smarter, and I also have a quarterback going back. Joe Burrow's going to be the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
No chance that's happening.
I thought about that.
That's a good one.
It's on the record. Just to be realistic, the Jalen Hurts dead cap number and the cap number he has will not work as a trade partner with Joe Burrow.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Howie Roseman is a freaking oracle.
I understand.
If anyone could perform magic to create cap stuff that doesn't exist.
No, they're already in hell.
With Philadelphia?
Yeah, they have so many void years on so many guys. It's bad.
All right. We'll see.
It's going to be hard for them to have the dead cap numbers or Burrow.
Fair enough. So that's our long-term prediction on Joe Burrow. Only Tiki has him remaining with the Bengals.
Yeah.
The three of us have him on different teams. None of us said retire. Because they did sound...
He's 29 years old.
How old was he?
He sounded like Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
If you go back and remember when Andrew Luck was starting talking about this, he sounded exactly like this. Like, oh, I don't know, man. And this has been really hard. It's been depressing and maybe he didn't say depressing, but it's just hard. physically. It's like a grind. And then he retired.
Yeah, well, the thing that Luck did that I know pissed a lot of people off, and look, you can retire whenever you want to retire, was the fact that it happened in the preseason, right before the season started. Right. And it felt like it just did the Colts dirty. When the reality is, if he decided to retire in August, that's okay. If Joe Burrow makes this decision in February, the Bengals can go pivot. I mean, they're going to have a top pick.
He just turned 29. He turned 29 yesterday.
I know. Oh, yesterday was his birthday?
Yesterday was Joe Burrow's birthday.
Maybe he was being reflective that he was about to enter the age of his final year of his 20s.
Yeah.
It's kind of a depressing moment.
It is. As if that, you never care what age you are.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Everybody always talks about tanking at this time of year, and we always say, listen, the players don't tank, the coaches don't tank, you know, maybe a general manager make a decision of like throwing a quarterback out there that, you know, we want to see this guy and see what he looks like and evaluate him, and maybe that's like the slightest bit of a tank from a general manager. So back in, it was the 2020 season, or was it the 2020 season where I think, yeah, because it was the 2021 draft that Zach Wilson was drafted, right?
Right, so the 2020 season, if you remember, nobody was in the stadiums.
Right.
So if you went and go, if you went to go play on the road, it was like you were playing in your backyard.
That's right.
Or your high school football stadium.
So the Jets went out to L.A. to take on the Rams. They were a big underdog. They hadn't won a game yet that year, and they went and beat the Rams on the road, and that was a year that Trevor Lawrence was coming out.
And they ended up losing the first overall pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars took Trevor Lawrence, and then Zach Wilson went number two. And I really did feel at that time that that was a, I mean, not that they should have lost on purpose, but it was just unfortunate for the Jets to win that game. I'm not there yet with Fernando Mendoza and the Jets. Now, I think that there's a good chance that they don't win a game the rest of the year, but they also are going, and I think the Giants are going to win a couple games. So they're going to have to worry about Cleveland. They're going to have to worry about Vegas, maybe even more in particular than Cleveland. But if the Jets win one of these games and or two or whatever, do you view it as a disaster because they could get Mendoza? Does Mendoza, really the question is, do you believe that Fernando Mendoza, as we sit here today, is so important for the Jets to get that they either got to get this number one overall pick or they got to package these picks that they have to go and get him because he's the guy that's going to finally turn this franchise
around? I will say he will be the first quarterback taken. That I will say, and he will be taken by somebody like the Jets, the Raiders, the Saints, the Browns. One of those four teams is going to end up with him.
Well, Raiders, Saints,
Browns,
Jets. Okay.
Yeah, one of those four teams is going to end up with him at the top of the draft.
Okay.
That I will definitely say. There's no question. He's got the size. He's got the arm strength. He's a little goofy. There's no question about it. But so is Joe Burrow. I'm not saying he's Joe Burrow or going to be Joe Burrow. But I think that, you know, you combine the size with the character and the brain power, and I think you got yourself a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, so I guess really what I'm asking you is, like, the Trevor Lawrence thing made that comparison. You also were talking about when Caleb Williams was coming out that the NFL had even considered, like, doing a lottery that year or when someone else, like, that stature where everybody, it's a consensus number one overall pick, they may consider that down the road to avoid some of the tanking. Where do you rank Mendoza in that world?
He's the number one pick coming out.
But I mean, like, yeah, I know we know that. Oh, like, but like, as compared
is he
to
Caleb
those
Williams,
guys,
is he Trevor Lawrence?
Like, compared to
is
those
he
guys,
Jackson Dart? I mean, like, I think Jackson Dart.
Well, Jackson Dart, but we didn't know that. I'm talking before we see these guys play in the NFL.
Watching tape of him and just watching these interviews and everything. I'd like to meet him face to face, knowing that he also has a business degree from University of California, has already graduated college. I mean, this kid has got everything. I mean, at least that's what it looks like and it feels like. And you don't have to worry about him not loving football. He loves football. And you can tell just by the way he gives his interviews. I know he's a religious guy. I know he's probably quirky, nerdy, that kind of guy. But I also know that he's a highly competitive guy.
Yes.
And you can see his size, his athleticism, and the way he throws. I mean, he's everything that you want in a physical stature of a quarterback. He's like Philip Rivers' size.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is you think that he should be viewed like before they played in the NFL, Trevor Lawrence and Caleb Williams.
He's very close.
Okay.
Very close to those guys. I don't necessarily know that he is going to have that kind of support, but I don't see anybody saying that he's not the first overall quarterback. I don't. There may be one or two that, you know, will be contrarian or maybe have a different viewpoint than I do, and I don't study the tape as much as all these guys study it, but you could see these throws. You could see him moving. You could see how big he is. This is not a 6 foot one guy.
Yeah. You know, I see it all. Now, I'll preface this by saying that I know that the Jets are going to try to win these games. However, is it more important to you in building this team that Aaron Glenn and this group rattle off a couple of wins to build what he's trying to build there in the last couple of weeks, or end up losing these games while trying to win, losing these games to get a better shot at Fernando Mendoza?
Not losing, winning.
Okay.
Go and win and try to win and be the best team you could be and be the best players you can be. And I know, you know, you just never know. Fernando Mendoza or Diego Pavia is going to become some, or Julian Sand. You don't know, or Ty Simpson out of Alabama. You don't know if these guys are going to be any good when they get to the NFL. I think the closest guy, I believe, out of this group is Fernando Mendoza, just because of his size, his athleticism, his general overall character, and how smart he is.
Because that's what we're going to hear a lot of. as we get closer to the end of the season with all these teams jumbled up. Now, the Giants don't need a quarterback, but obviously if they had the number one overall pick, that's a great position to be in to trade down to a quarterback-desperate team to get more picks. But I don't think the Giants are going to end up there. I really don't. Out of all those teams, I think that they're going to win a couple of games. I actually think that probably the Commanders will even be ahead of them by this is all said and done. Vegas, to me, is really the one because the Saints have been playing better. Vegas is the one that if you're going to try to
and they need a quarterback, and they may end up going with the new coach too.
Yeah, I know, and that they would make it seem like, you know, Pete is leaving on his own. I don't know, but that's a mess out there. And the Raiders schedule the rest of the way. I'll just take a look at it now. I mean, this is a tough one. So they're going to Philly this week, then they're going to Houston next week. Then the Giants go to the Raiders, and then the Chiefs, who may end up, I mean, it's the last game of the season. They might not even be in the playoffs. I don't even know what they're going to do in that game. You would think that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes would want to go and win regardless. But then they host the Chiefs the last game of the season.
Yeah, so, I mean, these games here now at the end, you just don't know what you're going to get. Like, look at last night.
Yeah.
I mean, you have no idea what you're going to get. I mean, you know, it's just every week we're going to get probably 2 to 3 games where you think there's no way that the team that ends up winning would win that game.
Yeah. So the Jets and the Saints play one another
down in New Orleans.
So you have that. And so, I mean, the Jets could very easily lose all 4 of these. And then you would have to have the Raiders lose one. And then figure out from there what the strength of schedule would be from there.
Well, that's why I was asking you yesterday, who do you think would end up with a better record, the Jets or the Giants?
Oh, it's definitely the Giants will have the better record. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's a good I think there's a chance the Giants could win their final 4 and the Jets lose their final 4. I'm not saying it's likely that the Giants win all 4, but the Giants will at least win 2 more games.
Yeah, I feel the same way. As long as Jackson Dart is on the field playing and doesn't get another concussion, yeah.
Well, yeah, of course. That's making that assumption for sure.
What would happen if, let's say, Jackson Dart unfortunately does have another concussion or something like that, and the Giants do end up with the first overall pick?
I'm keeping Jackson Dart. I mean, you trade. It's not even
You're bringing in a new coach.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% keeping Jackson Dart. I mean, unless it's some sort of, like, he has to have, like, neck surgery on top of it or something like that. I mean, I'm not minimizing a concussion, but he'll have the entire offseason. From what I've seen from him, I know he could hang at that position in the NFL. I don't know that of Fernando Mendoza.
The thing about it is that if you are the Giants and you do have the number one pick, and there are really some top-end players in this draft for sure, but if he just takes another concussion, that's all I'm saying, and you decided you're going to blow this whole thing up and blow everything out, and you have a new coach coming in, and that coach, you know, says, hey, you know what? Maybe we could trade Jackson Dart for a couple first-round picks, and we'll take Mendoza with the number one overall pick.
No, I would never do that. Never, ever.
But these
ever.
Are all discussions that you have.
I understand, and they may have the discussion. I wouldn't do that at all. And this is the first guy that I've seen come in here that has been drafted. I mean, I'll give Mark Sanchez some credit for being on those good teams and having some balls and playing in the games, but obviously he was overwhelmed at times too. This is the first guy I've seen step in like immediately and look the part of all these guys that have been drafted that position.
I agree.
Years and years and years. I would not touch trading that guy. No, not even get even near that idea. And then if you had the first overall pick, use it to get one of those teams you're just talking about.
The pony up.
Right. That's the move, right?
Yeah,
there.
And that's how you rebuild the Giants. The Giants now, whoever the next coach is going to be, and whether or not the GM's going to stay here or not and make these picks and make these trades and make these decisions, this is the turning point for the New York Giants franchise. This is it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, the Patriots had their chance, and they got the right coach who brought in the right staff. They spent the right money on the free agents. They had the quarterback in the building, and the Patriots had the easiest strength of schedule this entire season. The last time the Patriots had the easiest strength of schedule in a season. They went on to win the Super Bowl. I think I want to say 2016, something like that.
They really had the easiest strength of schedule in 2016.
I think so. I believe so, yeah.
Right in the middle of the dynasty. WFAN NFL football
is... Yeah, but their division was terrible.
The Giants were off yesterday. I wish the Jets were off yesterday. What the hell was that, BT?
That was a tough one. That was one of the few games where the Jets really they didn't have a whole lot. The Bills game was like that. The Dallas game was like that. Those are pretty much the only two where it was really, really ugly. I mean, you know, Brady Cook is out there. I don't know what you really expect here. And the Jets, I mean, the Jets don't have a lot of talent on defense. I think we know that. You know, there were a couple of plays. I'm not going to waste much time on this. The Tua backwards pass, the pick six the Jets almost had, the near interception at midfield. There were a couple of plays where the, you know, maybe it could have made it a little bit tighter. Funny thing, though, I actually see it a little different than most Jet fans do. I really do. The general consensus is, and Aaron said this himself, I was thoroughly outcoached. I wasn't ready. My bad. I like him taking ownership. I don't fully agree because he's trotting out a bunch of B-level players at this point. But I think if the Jets weren't at least engaged and kind of locked in from a morale point of view, you fall behind 21-0 in the first quarter, you know, 8-9 minutes into the game, you're losing that game 40-3. Now, ultimately, at least previous Jet teams would have. Now, they still got waxed, obviously, by the final score, and some of the statistics were absolutely gross. Like, I think the Jets had 2 first downs at the half. Miami had 14. No, it was gross.
Unwatchable football.
Unwatchable for sure. What I'm saying is, like, I'm looking for something a little deeper because there's really nothing from the result of the game to tap into to say, I believe in this, or that, like tangible football stuff. I saw a little effort, you know, just to kind of try to hang around. What does that do? Doesn't do much, but I just didn't see a team quit, and I've seen a lot of other Jet teams quit.
I saw a quarterback in Brady Cook who is not there was some thought that, oh, let's see Brady Cook at the end of the year and maybe see what he could do. He is firing darts with no touch or accuracy all over the place yesterday. That was a big strike one. Again, not that he was going to be the answer, but some people thought, hey, let's see what Brady Cook could do. Well, I've seen enough already.
That's it, one and done?
Oh my God.
I can't say that. They dropped a lot of passes. Mitchell, hold on to them. Mitchell, Mechie, whatever. Even Taylor dropped one. Like, they dropped some pretty good throws. He made mistakes. He also didn't know he was going to start this week. I really hope that Tyrod's out. I want to see him get a week of reps and at least make my final. Like, I can't say that after
strong,
one game.
Strong arm, just no
he
touch.
He does have a good arm.
Yeah, no
he
touch
does.
Whatsoever. He's firing bullets all over the field. That was the other part of it. These receivers, they stink. I don't want to hear about A.D. Mitchell and, oh, he could be great in the number. He stinks. Whether it's the route running, the hands, oh, my God.
He dropped some passes he should have had. Yeah.
Dude,
yesterday was a step back for
him. Are you an NFL receiver or what?
Coming off the game he had prior.
Yes.
That was a disappointing step back. I don't disagree. I was very disappointed the way he looked here. Listen, I at least want to see, you know, yeah, I mean, if Tyrod gets back and he's fine, okay, great. But, and I almost prefer Tyrod because we'll get a better answer. I do want to see a game or two, and I know he's eligible to come off IR. I at least want to see Garrett Wilson, you know, Mitchell, Michi, Taylor, Hall, pretty good old line. I at least want to see.
Well, with Garrett,
Garrett Wilson, what it could look like when everybody else is slotted back into where they really should be. Now, that's just the takeaway for the Jets game. It is what it is. What really matters is what happened to Daniel Jones and that Achilles, which sucks for him. I think he's a high character. We all do. It didn't work out well for him, but it's a good dude, and he's always banged up, and he's done.
Was it the same leg that he...
I thought it was the other one.
I thought so, too. I was just confirming that.
Left knee, right Achilles, I'm pretty sure is the way it was, and he knew right away, and he's done for the year. Brutal. But here's what's happening. And listen, nobody felt sorry for the Jets when Aaron Rodgers, when his Achilles shriveled up like a lampshade going back a few years ago, opening night against the Bills. And I just say that because I want to put some good energy out there for good people. And Daniel Jones is a good guy and a good competitor. Like, the guy plays hard. And you can see the way he's smashing his helmet. He's distraught.
This could be the career end. What do you mean?
That's not going to be a career end.
He's always
Kirk Cousins
hurt.
Came back. Well, that's different. Like, I...
Meaning this was Daniel Jones went from being the MVP of the league the first, 8 weeks or however long it was.
He was up there.
And then
slow
decline, even before that injury, he threw a horrible pick.
Yes, he did.
So, and the Colts have been regressing in the last few weeks, looking like Daniel Jones again. And now this on top of it, I think whatever momentum and shine he had of being a franchise quarterback, which it was clearly headed in that direction.
They were going to give him a long-term deal.
Yeah, or the Vikings reportedly maybe being interested in going back to Daniel Jones. And then this now is going to torpedo all that.
Okay, I thought you meant, you know, he's not going to get back and be able to play football at all, just in terms from a functionality point of view, which I would disagree with. But what now that I know what you mean, yeah. I probably do agree with that. But here's what matters from the Jets. Now, I've been on this for a while because I haven't had a lot to be on here with the Jets. They at one point, the Colts were 8-2. They're now 8-5. They've got Seattle. They've got the Niners. They've got the Jaguars. They've got the Houston Texans. Seattle's awesome. Niners are terrific. Jaguars are humming. And the Texans, again, as we saw last night, their defense is legit, and they are now legit, and they are winning a lot of games. It has gone from where I thought, all right, even though I was down with it when it happened and I was excited, I'm thinking, maybe it'll be like the 30th pick or 29 or 31, and then it jumps into the mid-20s. Then after yesterday, I'm looking at 2 weeks, last week, it was up to 23. At one point yesterday, it was 21. Then when all the games are done, it's up to 18. I got news for everybody. I don't think the Colts win another game. I don't think the Colts make the playoffs. I would bet on the Colts finishing at 8-9. So what this draft pick is going to turn into for the Jets, sadly at the expense of a good competitor in Daniel Jones, is going to be massive.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, WFAN NFL Football, powered by Verizon. Get your local Verizon store today. Brian is calling from Jersey Shore. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Brian.
Hey guys. Listen, you just stole my thunder there, BT, with that how that pick is going to be great now, because they might not even win a game, the Colts. But you stole it. I appreciate it. You guys are pros. I just wanted to tell you, I'm really going to miss you guys. I'll leave it at that. Happy holidays. Enjoy it with your family.
Thanks, buddy. Really you too, man. It means a lot to you, Brian. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I think you've got to look at it this way, and I get it. Yes, it was one of the rare games. I was fairly, I don't know if despondent is the right word, but I was.
That game was brutal.
I get it. I know. But now, I will be fair. Like, I have been on this mission because I do believe in culture and a little carryover. But now, based on where the Jets are, I am in real time reevaluating, like, do I want them to win any more games? I mean, because the Saints beat the Bucs, that changes, like, where the Jets are and in relation
where
to
is
having
it right
a
now?
Top
yeah,
pick.
Yeah,
if you could, actually, if you could pop it on. I know the
Jets are 7 right now.
Jets are 7. Yeah. The Colts are 18, and that's moving in a favorable direction. The Giants are 1.
Yeah.
I think the Tennessee Titans are 2.
Giants are Vegas,
2, I'm sorry.
Vegas is 2 right now.
All right, so we got
Titans
the Giants
are 3.
So the Giants 1, and the Titans, let me just pop it up easier rather than
Giants 1, Raiders 2.
Yep. I just
Titans
want to have
3, Browns 4.
Okay. Okay,
Kings
I got
5.
It. Here's where it matters. So what teams with the Jets right now at 7 are going to take a quarterback if they are in front of the Jets in a position to do so? The Giants will not. The Raiders will. The Titans will not. I mean, I would think that the Browns would, but you never know. I would think that the Saints absolutely would, even though Shuck has shown a little promise, and we know the Commanders will not. So we are looking at it. I don't think the Giants finish with the first overall pick, to be fair, and I think Tennessee might. I think it's going to come down between Vegas and Tennessee for the top overall spot. Jets better pray it's the Titans, because if it's the Vegas Raiders, the Raiders aren't doing business with the Jets, because the Raiders are going to want the quarterback as well.
Right, so if it's the Titans, you could trade up and
get them. Yep. And if it is the Giants, which I don't think it will be, then that would even be more favorable than, say, the Saints or the Raiders or maybe even the Browns. Like, the window of possibility is really
tell,
big
though.
For the Jets
but,
here.
But isn't it hard to, like, how do you know? There could be a world, and I understand the love affair with Jackson Dart, believe me, I get it. But there could be a world. We saw this happen in Arizona, where it was Josh Rosen and Wilkes, they were hired, and boom, all of a sudden they were out. You bring in Kingsbury, and he selects Kyler Murray.
Yeah, but Josh Rosen never looked like Jackson Dart.
I'm just saying.
Not
that's,
even
that,
close.
That's one example. Well, for Tennessee, it could pertain true, even though there were some, you know, Baldy's on with us, he loves Cam Ward, but maybe somebody comes in there and they redo things, and they have a new guy that wants to get rid of Cam Ward and move on from Cam Ward and have their new head coach or GM select a different quarterback. When you have the number one pick, you just don't know, especially in circumstances where there's going to be a new regime in place.
Yeah.
I just don't know the answer. I don't think the Giants are going to take a quarterback, so you would think they'd likely trade down.
Listen, I hate to even say this, but it's been said before. Like, unless, God forbid, and I'm truly knocking on wood, unless, God forbid, Dart gets concussed again, they're not taking a quarterback no matter what. He is their guy. That's the reason why I think the Giants' job is appealing. Basically, the only reason at this point, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So I think I would bet exorbitant amounts of money that Dart, if he's healthy, is the starting quarterback next year and going to be really good. But I won't even put it down that far down the road. Giants aren't taking a quarterback.
I hear you. Like, well, why not if you get the right group out there in Tennessee?
I'm just saying you don't know. We still got several weeks left to go in the NFL season.
I agree. So I don't know. So all I could do is piece together what I truly believe. I think that there is maybe slightly less chance, because obviously darts look better than Ward, that the Titans would take another quarterback, but they're not doing
Your point is you want the team with that top pick to be able to trade out of it so the Jets can get
100%.
Up there.
100%. Give me the G-men. Give me the Commanders. They're not going to drop that far. Or give me the Titans.
I mean, you say not that far. They're one game off the pace. They're 3-10. They're all tied. There are three teams at 2-11. One, two, three, four, five teams at 3-10, including the Jets.
You know what? That's true. And by the way, the Commanders have lost 8 in a row. They've lost 8 straight. The Cardinals have lost 8 straight. So that's true. There's like a couple of teams that we haven't really... Let's face it. When we factored in the top of the draft board this year, it was always... I don't mean when the Giants beat the Chargers and beat Philly. I mean pretty much after that. It was always going to be between the Jets, the Browns, the Titans, and the Raiders. Those were the four teams we all knew stunk and that nothing was going to really change enough to not cement them picking very early. But what's changing here is, you know, now all of a sudden, look at Arizona. As I said, they've lost 5 straight. Murray's banged up. Who knows how they finished? Look at the Commanders. As you point out, I wasn't even thinking about them. Yeah. You're right. They've lost 8 straight. They've got the same record as the Jets. Now, conversely, I don't think that this will happen, but two teams that I thought for sure, and the Saints as well, we thought would draft very early. I don't know if I said them, but two teams that I thought for sure would take quarterbacks, the Saints and the Browns. Well, let's just kick that around for 30 seconds. I mean, Sanders made some big plays yesterday. What if Sanders balls out? I'm not a big Shador Sanders believer, but what if he does? That could change it. And what if this kid Chuck is not... I mean, I'm not saying I'm hitching my wagon to this kid, but he's not awful.
Right.
And I don't know what they perceive him to be inside their building. So two other variables with two teams I thought for sure were taking QBs.
Your overall point, though, I think where we're getting to is you want the Jets to start losing.
I think
games.
I need them to start losing again. I do. Yeah. And that's okay that I'm changing my opinion because I think that there's been enough competitive games and enough. That's why I even said, like, I know nobody feels this way. I don't need anybody to agree with me. That's fine. I'm not going to use the word proud, but I've seen a lot of games where the Jets get smacked in the first quarter, going back 20, 30 years with different coaches and different players. They lose that game 37-3. They get shut out. They lose 40-6. It was 24-10 in the fourth quarter. I know what the final score was. I know the Jets statistically couldn't run the ball. Cook was awful. Taylor got hurt. They had the dropsies. I know. But if they make that pick six at the goal line, which you have to make, it's a one-score game. Not that they're gonna. I'm not saying they're gonna win the game.
You sound like Aaron Glenn. No, you do.
I'm not saying they're gonna win. All I'm saying, I saw some fight, so that's what I needed to see. Now that especially that Mendoza beat the Buckeyes over the weekend.
Yeah, did you watch any of that?
I watched the highlights. I was wrapped up. I did not see the game, but I've been on Mendoza pretty much before anybody. Okay, I watched him with the Oregon. I watched him at Cal before he transferred.
You want him definitively?
That's the guy. There's no doubt he's the guy. He's the guy.
Now it's going to be up to Muji and to see if they think that that's the guy.
That's true.
But
I think he's the guy.
Because I'm still of the belief that I'm not going all in just because they need a quarterback right now. I'm not doing that this year if I don't love the guy. And they may not have their pick. Like you said, maybe the Raiders get number one and they're not trading that pick and they take Mendoza and the Jets can't get their guy. Now are you forcing it for the second level?
No, I'm not. Then I'm punting to 2027 and I'm going to try to get a bridge or do something creative for 2026.
So you want Mendoza?
I do. You know what? I definitely want him. Like, I think he's better than Dante Moore. I like him better than Ty Simpson. I don't even know if those guys are coming out. There's still some variables. You got the combine. What happens when Mendoza, if he plays the Buckeyes again in the playoffs, right? And now, his stats were fairly pedestrian, but the Buckeyes don't give up points to anybody. You look at Ohio State's record, like, I don't even have it in front of me, like the games that they played, like 0 points, 6 points, 3 points, 0. Now, the Big Ten is not an explosive offensive conference like the SEC.
It's incredible what Indiana has been able to do.
God, I mean, he's got the right size. He's got the right attitude. He's got enough wiggle. Like, he's not a 5'2", 40 guy. He can run a little bit. He's a leader. Like, if you go to Indiana, it's like you're going to Alabama. Or Michigan or the Buckeyes, you go to Indiana and and I know the defense is great too, as is the coach. You're the number one team in the country. You're a little different. I will caveat it with this though. If they had to like really give up a lot of draft capital to trade up to get him, I'm not sure I'm doing that. Like, I really like Mendoza. If the Jets have the first pick, I'm taking him.
What about just waiting? See, to me, it's if you have to love the guy. End of story. This is their one shot to get the right guy. Mm-hmm. So if you don't love him, or if the guy that you do love you can't get, there are two ways to miss out on him or to pass on him. Either you don't really love him, number one. Number two, you do love him. You absolutely love him, but you just can't get him because the teams in front of you aren't going to be willing to trade that pick.
Yep. I would think that there's a third. You can't justify giving up everything to maybe...
No, but if you love them...
To maybe convince one of those teams that initially wouldn't trade with you, maybe change their mind. Like, let's say it's the Browns who get the first overall pick, and we think that they might take a quarterback. I would not do this, but can you give them 3-4 first rounds to change their mind, to first round picks to change their mind to take Mendoza?
Well, I
wouldn't do it, but you could theoretically.
If you loved him, then yes, you should do whatever you can to go get that quarterback.
He's not Andrew Luck. I'm not doing that. Like, I would stop short of that.
Then you don't love him enough. So then you have to look at all your other options. It's not just in the draft.
I agree.
Kyler Murray.
I don't want him.
Okay,
I'm
just saying. I mean, he's going to be a guy that's probably going to be available.
Pass.
Then it's another stopgap year.
Yes.
Until next year's draft. But then what if you're in the same spot next year? You win a little bit more games, but the guy you want is not... You know what I mean?
But then you got 3 first-round picks next year. It's a little bit easier. You could probably retain one of them and still move up.
All right, but at some... I just would try to do the best I can to make sure I get the guy that I want. If I loved Mendoza, I would do all that I could to get him if he were at all available. And if they were like, I'm not so sure, then you make them make that move, and now you're all in on somebody you wanted, as opposed to next year, and it's like... Well, okay, we could trade up and get this guy. We might be able to get this guy. By now, Muji and Glenn have to have some kind of idea of the available quarterbacks, not only this offseason, but projecting ahead to next year, too. I'm not just talking about in the draft, as far as the available NFL quarterbacks, which guys you could trade for. Either way, they're going to, over the next 2 years, the Jets need to find their franchise quarterback one way or another.
Yes, that part I'm with you. Now, if, we wake up and it's the combine, and the Jets make some crazy trade with whomever's got the first pick, it's probably not what I would do. But if they are that, married to whatever convictions they have about Mendoza or somebody else, then I'd say, Muji to me has shown enough aptitude as a young general manager. I'd be like, okay, I like it. This is the player you want. You're fully married to that. You're not half stepping it. It's not a reckless Hail Mary to me, because the Jets have been very buttoned up in their trades. What I'm talking about with Muji, mm-hmm. not so much on the field, but certainly yesterday. And I would give them the latitude to figure that out. Like, I wouldn't crush them. Even if they dipped into the 2027 picks. Now, you're not giving up 5. If they did that, then I'd crush them. But if they did that, I'd say they know who they want. And I kind of believe in Muji. So I would say go get him. I hope it's the right move, and I hope it works out.
I'm just looking over the slate of games for this weekend.
Oh, that's a little bit different. Okay. Yeah.
Well, Bills-Patriots is a big one that jumps out. Chargers-Chiefs. You still think the Chiefs have a chance? I mean,
Chiefs are done. I told you 3 weeks ago they're not going to the playoffs. They're done. They stink. They don't have it.
All right. Rams-Lions, obviously a big one.
Yes.
Packers-Broncos, big one. So there's some big games on the docket. I mean, even, I guess, Colts still hanging on. Is Rivers starting? Did they say that?
I don't think they officially announced that. Obviously, he had a couple of practices, and he said that his head feels like he was talking about how, he can still obviously process the game and see the game, and his arm feels great, but... I mean, he's 44 years old. He hasn't been the first time you flush from the pocket. How does that hamstring not shred, man? I love him, but hey, listen.
He can't move from the pocket. He's lucky he's able to walk from the bench to the pocket.
Yeah, he couldn't move from the pocket when he was 25, but when he was at NC State. The Seattle Seahawks are going to bludgeon them. One thing about Seattle, like, when they get a team that they're supposed to beat, and the Colts have lost back-to-back-to-back games, which is great for our Jets and for my Jets, they don't mess around. They put a bad team down immediately. They're 13.5-point favorites. I guarantee that the final score, and it's up in Seattle, Seattle's going to win this game 37-13.
Sounds like a pick.
They're going to kick the crap out of them.
You've been hot. I have not looked at the lines yet. I'll do so. We'll do the perfect parlay pick segment for the final time a little bit later on as well. Are you excited to see Brady Cook as a starter for a full game?
I am. You know why? And I'm sure, here we go, Brady Cook. Here comes the Jets propaganda. Come on. Listen. The reason why I'm excited to see Brady Cook is... he's had a full week to practice. Getting reps is the one. Now, I did watch him a little bit at Missouri. I'm not saying I'm watching every series, but Armon Membu was the guy that I wanted, the player that I wanted the Jets to draft a couple of years ago, and he played at Missouri. So not that I'm sitting there like Boldy or Mel Kiper, but watching some film on Armon Membu, how can I not see the quarterback? And I liked him. And then I saw him over the summer, and I'm like, he seems to have some moxie here. So, he's probably, in 2 years, he's probably gone. But, you know, I'd like to see him with a full week of practice, a little confidence. And if the receivers held on to the ball last week, his stat line would have looked a lot better. The game moves so much faster. So some of the picks he had were atrocious. But, yeah, I'm interested in seeing him play. Sure.
BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call back to your calls here. Baseball, NFL, Week 15, whatever's on your mind on this final day of BT and Sal. John is on the Fan from Valley Stream. What's up, Johnny?
You know, I knew it. I said, please don't come to me after the break because you guys are like pulling the reverse Casey Kasem on me here. You're talking something deep and meaningful, and now I got to spin the up-tempo record. Oh,
we tried to get it back on track, though.
Yeah, here we go. So listen, boys, as a three-time defending BT and Sal Call of the Day champion, I feel like my career as a Looney Tune WFAN caller is really taking a hit here today, boys. I got to tell you. I mean, you guys gave me...
Well, that's where we're concerned about, Beningo. John.
You gave me the nickname. That was a very meaningful moment of my life as a pissed off Giants fan, boys. You know, and
yeah.
Even though the two of you, you know, would keep my greatness on hold for over an hour and a half at a time, because you never shut up, I am going to deeply miss the two of you, I got to tell you.
Thank you, John.
That's really fantastic.
We'll miss
and by the way, you were on hold for a long time because a lot of people wanted to call BT and Sal, not because we wanted to just keep you on hold, buddy. So let's get the facts straight there,
listen,
John.
Listen, you're about the only show I can get through to, so let's take it easy, boy.
Well, I hear you. All right, man. So go ahead.
I love you guys.
What else you
got
there,
very
John?
Much.
That's it? All right, then. Thank you for the call there, John.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a little thank you. It could be a little schoolable. It could be a little NFL. It is all good. Now, you do see what I have. We're not going to do this right now. You do see what I made sure I brought in
the
today.
The baseball cards, yes. Okay.
We're doing a baseball card
We haven't done that in a while.
Now.
You know, I was thinking about this, though.
Go ahead.
A, we both might be rusty.
Yes, true.
Okay. B, I am the two-time winner in the World Series.
So I have a chance to go out as a real loser with this today.
I don't want to do that.
I appreciate that sentiment. We're competitors. We're big boys. That's a risk I'm willing to take. I lost in Game 7 twice. I mean, it was right down to the last inning.
What risk are you taking? I'm the champ. I'm putting it on the line.
I'm taking a go losing. You think I want to finish the show losing three things to you?
No, I don't want to go out on that note either. My buddy Vin and I, this is what I was thinking of yesterday. We used to play Madden head-to-head. Right at the wire on New Year's Eve. So then, like, definitively, whoever won
was the champ of the year?
Yeah, exactly. Like, finished out the year like that. So that's kind of what this reminds me of. And then
minus the champagne and the weird hats and the crystal ball dropping. Sure.
But my point is, I already have won the two World Series. I can retire on the BT and South Carolina champion. I'm giving you a chance to redeem yourself in one shot.
And I'm accepting it.
No, I'm saying I don't know if I want to do that.
You're going to rescind the offer?
Maybe play Hav. Go up against Hav or Rami or something.
Okay, hold. No, get out of here, smoke. But I wouldn't even be close. Here's the thing. So this will maybe change your mind, even though we're going to do it no matter what. But this might make you feel better about this. What are my wheelhouse years? List them. Go
83,
ahead.
84, 85.
Maybe then. Okay.
And then I start taking
over. Also 86, too.
Okay.
Where's my weaknesses start?
Yeah, the later years, certainly. 90s, 88.
I've got 88 packs. Okay, so Sal laying 3.5 points, maybe
okay.
four.
All right.
All right, so are you going to wuss out? I mean, or?
No, we'll do it.
Because
we'll
here's the other thing,
I'll put my title on the line.
Well, I appreciate that. What's worse, going out like a wuss or going out as a loser? Or going out as a three-time champion, which you very well might be.
I choose not to play. Like Seinfeld, I choose not to run.
You're playing, guys. Come on. All right.
We'll have some fun with that. We'll do that later on. Peter is in Wantagh. What's up, Peter?
Pedro.
Gentlemen, first, I was going to say something about you guys leaving, which is difficult. But, Sal, I want to say to you about your daughter. God has given you, and I know you know this, so it's not something. She's going to bring so much joy to your life. So many. God blesses children like that with other abilities. And just take it from me. I know it. And obviously, you know you'll be fine.
Thank you, Peter. Yes, we'll be fine. Awesome. Yes. Thank you, though.
Yes. So, anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't want to...
No, we appreciate it.
I just want to say about all the possibilities that everybody on the station, including you guys, talking about the possibilities of trade, signing this guy. As I have no faith right now in David Stein. He blew it last year at the trade deadline because I believe he didn't want to give up all the prospects that he had, and which nobody knows, right? Even at this point, Vientos and Beatty have not proven. Alvarez gets hurt every year. So these guys, right now the Mets have two major league plays on the roster. And if they're going to make trades, I feel the other teams now, the other GMs, realize the Mets need to do something. And they're going to hold them to the fire for all of these prospects. I just don't see anything happening this year to make this team. Cody Bellinger, I understand all of that. I just don't see it happening.
Well, I mean, it might not, Pete. I mean, you might be right, but I listen.
If you paint it this way, BT, let's say they get Bellinger and Contreras, or an outfielder. Let's say they trade with the Twins for Buxton and Ryan, and then they add Contreras. All right, well, now all of a sudden you're piecing together a little bit of a more balanced team. You may be right in that it's not going to be as sexy as the, okay, well, you lost Pete, now go get Kyle Tucker. But it doesn't mean you still can't build a solid team. Now, again, it's going to be on Stearns. If that team, he's going to take some chances here on less than players. Yep. If they don't come together and play well as a team, he's going to be taking a major hit. But I still think that there are many avenues to build a solid, hard-nosed baseball team that could get to the postseason even without the big sexy splash.
Well, I mean, listen. I mean, we always talk about all these rookies that come up in New York for both of these teams that flame out as position players. I mean, maybe one of these kids is actually the real deal. I remember watching Darryl come up in 83. You know, Jeter comes up opening day against the then Indians out in Cleveland. Home run, Furuzuto on the cold, over the shoulder, catching short center, left center field, going out with his back to home plate. I'm not going to sit here and tout these prospects as locks, but I'm not going to say they can't be special because they're very highly thought of for a reason. Now, is it transferable from the minors to the majors? We'll eventually see. Here's what I do think, though. I don't think, and this even includes getting Skubal, I don't think that there's, and you should be okay with this because preseason predictions don't mean anything because last year the Mets were very high and they won 83 games. I don't think there's anything that the Mets could do in the next month or two that will position them to be, wow, look at this team. Because I think the Braves have more talent. They just got hurt a lot last year and they've already added to their talent. I've always thought the Phillies were better, even though the Mets played well against the Phillies. I got that. But I do think there's a middle avenue where the Mets do four or five moves and they're the right ones. And even if only three of the five work out, I think they'll be low 80s, mid 80s, competitive. And that's when the young kids eventually popping, that makes the future bright. You're not going to go from 83, I don't think, from 83 wins to 97, no matter what you do in the next 4 weeks. I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be the case. I wouldn't say that they can't win. I mean, we saw the Blue Jays go from worst to first a year ago, and it's not like they made the sexiest, splashiest move. So you can build a team that plays solid baseball, hits the ball, catches the ball, runs the bases. Those guys help you win games. Maybe that's the way the Mets are trying to build this thing with some pitching. But even if they got Skubal, and that's probably the biggest thing that you could do right now in the sport, go land Tarik Skubal, the team that trades for him. Even if they did that, it's going to be, okay, well, now what? How are you building out the rest of the roster? So, yeah, there are many steps to go with this team. But I wouldn't bet that they can't be a very good, solid playoff team. And then with the ability to improve it in season as well. There are still moves to be made. And by the way, maybe they are. Hey, what if they trade Francisco Lindor? And that turns into all of a sudden.
At this point, do you want them to? I know what you've said about them, maybe. Well, actually, you said that you thought that they should at some point, or at least explore.
Well,
are you even more in on that now?
For the record, just to go back, I was saying that I would trade Lindor. This was before he was even brought up.
It was months ago.
Yeah. I would trade Lindor, and I was saying that because for many different reasons. Okay, many different reasons. The fact that he's getting older and maybe a little bit slower at shortstop. You'd like to get out from under that contract if possible. He's still productive enough to where there's still value to from another team. Also, the issues with him and Soto maybe not being the best of buds. A lot of different reasons why I said first that I would have traded Lindor. Now you're starting to hear a little bit of smoke that it might be a realistic thing. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't expect it to happen. But I am excited with the idea of doing that because if they did that, now the possibilities are endless. And I would assume if you do trade in, you're getting back something significant in return. And even if you don't get something significant pound for him, you then could take all that money that you have freed up and go spend it in another spot where you could build it better and different. So, yeah, a part of me, as sick as this may sound, with the damage that's already been done to this core, mm-hmm. just finish the job.
Yeah, listen, one more brick to rip down. I mean,
why not? And now you and now, because if you remember correctly, it wasn't even just about trading Lindor. One thing that I said was, if it were me, I would keep Soto, and that's it. Yeah. Everything else could go.
Yeah, you did say it.
Everything else on the team would be available. If it were me, Soto stays, everything else could go. And so far, Nimmo gone, Diaz gone, Pete gone, Peterson up for trade, Senga up for trade. Like, it's almost as if, and now Lindor rumor, it's almost as if everybody but Soto is rumored as being moved on.
Are you saying you may have been right?
Well, just that I agree with his thought process. Once, dude, Francesa talked, this is where I learned this theory. I was behind the scenes with Mike after Dog left, and he was talking about breaking up the Mets core after the 2007 collapse.
Okay.
And he could not have been more correct. But what he was saying at the time wasn't popular. He was saying they needed to change the core and trade either Reyes or Wright. He chose David Wright would have been the guy that he would have traded.
That's the wrong choice for
okay,
me.
But keep going.
No, I got you.
Whatever. Point is, core needed to be broken up. And the thought was, oh, no, that's crazy. And what happened after that? They sucked again in 2008, got even worse in 2009, and then went into the darkest years in maybe the history of the franchise outside of when they first started, so and maybe even worse than that. So he was right. They needed to break up that core, and they never did that. And if you're paying attention to this team since 2022, maybe even before that, 2021, the core is just not, how many times have you
it's not good enough. Just simple, direct, not good enough.
And now it's no longer.
Yeah, true, and rightfully so. Okay, the only thing about Lindor... Now, if there is friction, and I don't, you know, it seems like there might be a little bit. To what degree is it irreparable? I don't know, but I don't think it's, you know, all these stories or the smoke that is kind of, you know, emitting from that Met clubhouse that a lot of people are now kind of freely saying needs to change a little bit. And you know, you heard that 2 years ago on the show here, by the way, and it's now changing as we know. So if it's fixable, then I'm obviously not looking to just get rid of Lindor if that's the one thing. The one thing that can't happen, because the thing that we played yesterday from the show out in San Diego was Bogaerts and Mason Miller.
Yeah, I don't want Bogaerts.
Well, that's where I'm going. You don't trade Lindor for somebody who's worse, clearly, metrically, statistically worse, irrefutably worse. Lindor's the better player, period. You're not going to trade Lindor for a salary dump and we need help, fiscal solvency, because you're not the Marlins or the Minnesota right. Twins or the Pittsburgh Pirates. You're Cohen's Mets. So it's not a monetarily driven thing. It's got to be a talent thing slash.
Well, it wasn't just Bogaerts, by the way.
I said it was Bogaerts and Mason
Miller.
Yeah,
okay, right.
But that's it.
Right. Well, we also don't know. Maybe there's a third team. Okay. I'm with you.
I'm just saying, if there's a third team, I'm going to listen a little bit more, but. That, to me, would be a dumb trade because Lindor is much better than Bogaerts.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Adam is in South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
Yo. What's up, Adam? Oh, boys, I had to get through today.
We got it.
I wasn't going to. Listen, I think I speak for everybody that we're not sad for you guys. We're sad for us. We don't get to hear you banter anymore. There's been nothing better than you two going back and forth. Met Yankee fans, we've never had that dynamic before. And it's been awesome. In my mail truck. Making my day go. Thank you. Now, before I get to my baseball point, real quick, your boy wrote a book. I just wanted to let you know that. I can't believe I did that, but I did write a book. So
on what?
I want to let you guys know that.
On us?
It's called the... No, hell no. I'm not crazy. Come on.
I don't know.
No, but I wrote a book. I wanted to know if you guys would mind if I popped it for 1 second.
Go for it.
Let you know.
Go for it.
You're wasting time. You should have just did it already. Don't ask. Just do it. What is it?
Stop talking, Sal. I'll do it. It's the TikTok president. It's available on Amazon by your boy Adam Zirkel. Thank you.
Okay. I respect it. All right. Good.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, on to baseball. I'm a Yankee fan. You guys know that. And with the, you know, I got a lot of Met fan friends. They're really upset about, you know, Alonso, everything else. I got to tell you, in a way, I'm envious because. I know BT's going to agree with this. With the exception of Judge and maybe Cole, we've been wanting the Yankees to reset. We've been wanting them to change the core of the team because it just hasn't worked. Stanton, this one, it's like they keep recycling the same old thing. And as a Yankee fan, I'm starting to feel like the kid standing outside the candy store looking through the window watching everything go on while the Yankees sit there doing nothing. And I don't understand what's going on. So, Mets fans, I'm going to tell you, be patient with Cohen. He's doing what we want done, and you guys are getting that wish. Thank you for everything, guys. Yeah. You're the best. Mm.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. I'm sorry. Nope. Thank you, Adam. You've been a phenomenal caller. Phenomenal. It's not apples to apples because the Yankees roster has been better than the Mets, but a lot of things for most of these years. But what he just said, there's an element of truth there for sure. There's frustration from my angle. I do think that they finally got away a little bit, and it didn't work. But you know, with the additional emphasis on defense and some versatility. But until you get rid of Stanton and some of these other contracts, whatever, there's going to be log jams, and it's going to be a very imperfect roster. I also think that from an ownership, well, maybe not. Let me ask you, rather than try to just theorize and stumble through, mm-hmm. let me just flat out ask you, do you think it's easier for the Mets to rebuild than it is, and I mean a full rebuild, than it is for the Yankees to rebuild?
I mean, boy, it's a great question, because the Yankees were supposed to rebuild after the 2016 season, and then they go to Game 7 of the ALCS right away in 2017. So I would say that, yes, it's probably easier for the Mets to rebuild. You're talking about from a fan base perspective.
Fan base.
But don't a lot of Yankee fans, aren't we at the point where we want to see changes made? And you should. Both teams should be able to rebuild while also fielding a highly competitive team. So, but yes, to answer your question and just get to it, I do think it should be a little bit easier for the Mets fans to tolerate. Although I guess the argument could be made, BT, the Mets fan is so frustrated because they haven't had any kind of success mm-hmm. that they want to see the winning now. Enough with the rebuild. How many years you got to rebuild? But yeah, my gut tells me probably easier for the Mets fan to digest it than the Yankee fan.
I agree. But think about this now. Just juxtapose the off seasons and the recent moves here. Like, let's say that, I don't know, Steve Phillips. Let's say Steve was still the GM of the Mets.
Yeah.
Just say, right? Like, Cashman's been here that long for the Yankees. Now, obviously, for Steve to still be here, he would have had to win a championship. But and imagine if the Yankees are going through now what the Mets are going through now. I promise you, with a fairly new GM and an overhaul, radical overhaul of the roster, I promise you that whomever came in and replaced Cashman, these things would be like Stanton would be dealt, or this contract would be swallowed, or it would not be, well, let me just stand by, because while the Yankees are further ahead than the Yankees aren't a championship team either. So I think that it's good to do this. I think it's okay to do this. And I think, and I've always thought this, as long as you're transparent with the fans about a rebuild, don't lie to us, man. Don't say we're going to rebuild and then, you know, half-ass it. Rebuild or go all in or have a smart plan. And I think the Mets are doing the right thing.
Correct. Me too. But there are different variations of a rebuild. What the Astros did many years ago,
God.
Tanking and rebuilding that way, that's not... The Mets or Yankees would never do that.
I'm not even saying to that. There's no need to do that.
The Mets are rebuilding on the fly with the expectation that they're still going to be a playoff team. Cohen said that the other day. So we're not making something up like, you better make the playoffs. They're expecting to build a playoff team, which, by the way, shouldn't be that hard. I mean, the Cincinnati Reds with no payroll made the postseason a year ago. So making the playoffs should not be the barometer anymore. However, it can be a starting point for an organization that has never in its existence since 1962, never had sustained success. So the starting point should be playoffs, and then the playoffs the following year. And then as you're going through that, putting in the fine-tuned pieces to go win a World Series.
Yeah, and think about, you know, forget about the 60s and you know, late 60s and obviously 73 when they didn't win, but they got really far. But think about the first great Mets team that we all watched. I mean, it was accented with, we finally get we get Gary Carter. Talking about from the Mets' point of view. You get Keith in 83. Wow. The hell they get Mets stink. Why are they getting Keith Hernandez, former MVP from 79? They can do it with this guy. Well, that was a culture shift, not to mention a terrific player. Then you go out there, you eventually get Gary Carter. But a lot of the pieces, whether it was Darryl, whether it was Doc, whether it was Rick Aguilera, you know, whether it was Ronnie Darling pitching down a Tidewater, whether it was, you know, Kevin Mitchell coming up, or Dykstra, Mookie was still there. And then obviously Wright and Reyes. I'm pulling this all together because the Mets, when they're generally at their apex, whatever the Mets' apex is, it's usually because their farm system popped. That's usually the case. And if you look at the team now,
I think a lot of teams, though, are that.
True, but I think it's even more for the Mets because the Yankees brought in Clemens. Yep. The Yankees brought in Wells. The Yankees brought in
Tino. But it was always their core four.
I know. No, no doubt. But Brosh just won the MVP against the Padres in the World Series. You know, you brought in so many other, you know, David Justice came in. There was Nobby came in. It's not quite the same, I don't think, as
but
the
Mets.
But
if you take out the Yankees, I think, and maybe the Dodgers now, most teams have their success by drafting, developing well. That's generally
correct
where it comes from.
Well, that I say yes, agreed. And if you look at the recent, most recent iteration of the Mets, which have now been blown to smithereens, really, too many of these guys were like brought in, like Lindor, you traded for him, and you know the Scherzers and the other older Bassett, and they were Diaz. You're bringing these guys. You gotta build in with the prospects, and that's what they're doing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.